Yes, so we will be looking at the Proverbs 2, verse 1 to 9. And it is talking about wisdom. And as I said last time that I was here, when we look at Proverbs, and a lot of preachers avoid Proverbs because they say there seem to be no structure in it. And every time you look at a Bible book, it's always difficult if you just pick out verse by verse and you try to build something around it, because it really is all meant to be together. So, and I'm not sure if you are ever feeling short of wisdom, moments that you think, well, I could do with a little bit more wisdom. Maybe sometimes you ask the question, what is wise? What is the right thing to do? We often need to take big decisions. Decisions maybe for our lives. Decisions for the church. Decisions for our future. Ira's our eldest daughter. She is 40 now, and she has to do her options. I know you have a different schooling system here, so I'm not sure if you have GCSEs as well. You have. But she has to choose options for her future. And she's 14. She doesn't know what she wants to do when she grows up. And I myself had, in my career, and especially when I was in Tilbury as a young managing director, had to sometimes take tough decisions that impacted lives of 20, 30, sometimes 50 people. And sometimes I was wondering, I had these moments that I was looking for wisdom, looking for discernment, as Solomon is speaking about. And before we look into Proverbs, let's look at some places where people were looking for that wisdom, because they knew they couldn't do it all by themselves. So first, let's look at Joseph in Genesis 41. Genesis 41, verse 33. He had explained the dream to Pharaoh. And then he says, now therefore let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. And then if we continue in verse 37... So the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. And the next, in Deuteronomy 34. We read about Joshua. In verse 9. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the children of Israel heeded him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. And the last one is Solomon himself in 1 Kings, in 1 Kings 3. From verse 5. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask, what shall I give you? And Solomon said, you have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness and in uprightness of the heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David. But I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. and your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, because you have asked this thing, and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your word. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings of all your days. So how about us? Are you ever wondering how you can grow in wisdom? Sometimes we feel that wisdom is just restricted to the old and wise. Would you like to be able to discern between good and evil when you have to take decisions in your life? Well, for answers to these questions, we turn to the book of Proverbs. And the majority of Proverbs come from Solomon, the son of David and the great king of Israel. Solomon was the man who God enabled to have anything he wanted. And Solomon asked that God give him wisdom, what we just read in 1 Kings. And then listen to what the Bible tells us about Solomon in 1 Kings 4, verse 29. Just the next page. And God gave Solomon wisdom and exceedingly great understanding, and largeness of heart like the sand on the seashore. Thus Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, and Heman, Chalcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahol. And his fame was in all the surrounding nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. Also he spoke of trees from the cedar tree of Lebanon, even to the hyssop that springs out of the wall. He spoke also of animals, of birds, of creeping things and of fish. And men of all nations, from all the kings of the earth, who had heard of his wisdom, came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Wisdom is a very powerful and at times great quality that it seems only a few possess in large amounts. And the word wisdom is obviously a main theme throughout the Proverbs, occurring 41 times throughout the book. And wisdom has been defined in different ways. The Oxford Dictionary describes wisdom as the quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment. The quality of being wise. And the word that is used for wisdom in both the Old and New Testaments carries with it the meaning of having a skill in living, following God's design, and avoiding moral pitfalls. The Bible Knowledge Commentary defines wisdom as being skilled in a godly living. And that is what we saw last time when I was here, when we looked at Proverbs 1. The beginning of knowledge and wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And what we're talking about this evening goes a step further. And that is what this heavenly wisdom is about. Heavenly wisdom teaches us skills for a godly living. Heavenly wisdom serves us as a guide for our living here on earth. So why is that heavenly wisdom so important? Well, here is what the Bible says about the importance and value of heavenly wisdom. Proverbs 8 verse 11 says, for wisdom is better than rubies, And all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. Proverbs 16 says, how much better to get wisdom than gold? And to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 11 says, wisdom is good with an inheritance and profitable to those who see the sun. Wisdom. Car maker Henry Ford asked an electrical genius called Charlie Steinmetz to build the generators for his factory. And one day, the generators ground to a halt. And the repairman from Ford couldn't find the problem. So Ford called Steinmetz in, who tinkered with the machines for a few hours and then threw the switch. And the generators whirred back into life. But Ford got a bill for $10,000 from Steinmetz. And flabbergasted as Henry Ford was, because he was a rather tight-fisted car maker, he inquired why the bill was so high. And Steinmetz's reply was, for tinkering with the generators, $10. For understanding where to tinker, $9,990. And the story tells that Ford actually paid the bill. So this evening we are looking at Proverbs 2 verse 1 to 9. We read those verses earlier on. And we will look at four points this evening. First, we will look at the search for wisdom, verses 1 to 5. Then we look at the source of the wisdom, verse 6. Then we look at the results from wisdom, verse 7a. And finally, the shield that wisdom gives from verse 7b to 9. So if we, the first thing that we see when we look at Proverbs 2, verse 1 to 5, is the search for wisdom. Job 28, verse 12 says, but where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? And our text indicates here in verses 3 and 4 that to find wisdom, discernment, that we must cry out for it. We must lift up our voice. We must seek it. We must search for it. We need to have a deep desire to have wisdom and to go after it. And we can do that by reading books, by listening to tapes, CDs, listening to anyone that sounds remotely wise. But one of our biggest problems to find that when we are looking for heavenly wisdom is that we are looking at the wrong places. And I prefer a Chinese over a curry. And when you go to a Chinese restaurant, you get these little cookies with the wisdom hidden in it. Well, obviously, that is not really the place to look for wisdom. And there's a story of a young man who went to see Socrates to ask him for wisdom. And he walked up to the muscular philosopher and said, oh, great Socrates, I come to you for knowledge and wisdom. And Socrates recognized the pompous numbskull when he saw one. And he led the young man through the streets to the sea and chest deep into the water. And then he asked the young man, so what do you want? Knowledge, O wise Socrates, said the young man with a smile. And Socrates put his strong hands on the man's shoulders and pushed him underwater. 30 seconds later, Socrates led him up. What do you want? He asked him again. Wisdom, the young man uttered. Oh, great and wise Socrates. And Socrates crunched him under again. 30 seconds passed. 35, 40. And Socrates led him up. The man was gasping. What do you want, young man? And between heavy, heavy breaths, the fellow wheezed, knowledge and wisdom. O wise and wonderful, and Socrates jammed him back under water again. 50 seconds, and he let him up. What do you want? Air, the young man screeched. I need air. To which Socrates replied, when you want knowledge and wisdom, as much as you just wanted air, then you will find knowledge and wisdom. Wisdom is a precious commodity in our world today. And our search should be an exhaustive one. Verse 4 says that we should search for wisdom as we would a hidden treasure. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, that shows how valuable wisdom is. It is a treasure. And our search for wisdom, heavenly wisdom, will lead us ultimately to one place, which is God. And these verses clearly call for action. We can't just sit back and wait for wisdom to arrive and hope it will come to us. We need action. We need to cry for it. We need to seek it. We need to search it. That is the action that we need to do. And we can do that any moment and any place. And like I said, I had moments, difficult moments in my career, that I even in the boardroom sometimes was crying out for that knowledge and understanding to take the right decisions. But we need to search for it. It calls us to action. And now we move from the search for wisdom to the source of wisdom. Verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. If you are searching for heavenly wisdom, you should go straight to the heavens, straight to God. James 1 verse 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. And there are a couple of different ways that God gives us his wisdom. First, God gives us wisdom through his word. The Bible is not just a book that is full of stories and history. It is how God reveals himself to us. It is how God reveals his plans to us. It is how God has revealed his son Jesus to us, who were not alive when Jesus lived on the earth. And if wisdom, as we heard before, is being skilled in a godly living, then the Bible is our handbook for how to live. In that familiar verse in 2 Timothy 3 verse 16, Paul describes the value of God's word. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So we can find that knowledge in the word of God. But God gives us, secondly, also wisdom through other people. We know that God uses us and other people to accomplish his plans. And it makes sense that God would then use other people to dispense his wisdom. So it is a wise thing to surround yourself with people who you trust and who have a proven track record in their own lives, that you can glean advice from these people. And there are countless times that I have gone to other people for a word of wisdom, a word of advice to help me deal with a situation that I found myself in. People that walked where I walked, lived where I lived, struggled as I struggled. And sometimes these people, God is using these people to help you to make the wise choices. And together you can pray to God to ask for his wisdom. Because wisdom belongs to God. And he is the source of it, as we read in verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. So our search for wisdom should lead us to God. because he is the source of wisdom. And if we look at verse 7a, we're not just reading here about wisdom, but we actually read about sound wisdom. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. Not just wisdom, it's perfect, it's holy wisdom. The beginning of verse 7 says that God holds sound wisdom in store for the upright. As Christians, the Bible tells us that our victory is in Jesus Christ. Our ultimate victory over sin and over death comes courtesy of Jesus and his death on the cross and his subsequent resurrection from the dead. I find it very interesting that Paul gives Jesus the description of being our wisdom, because Paul writes to the Corinthians, "But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord." Wisdom, being skilled in a godly living, as we have defined, it was perfectly personified in God's Son, Jesus. He showed us what it meant to live a godly life. Our victory comes in the form of our redemption and salvation. And wisdom is found when you decide to give your life over to Christ and to follow him. As we heard this morning, Jesus is calling us to follow him. He says, "Follow me." And we are invited to live godly and holy lives. And as we live those holy lives, God has sound wisdom in store for those. And there is more, as we see in verses 7b to 9. He's a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity and every good path. So God doesn't just store up sound wisdom for those who live uprightly, but he is also a shield and a protector. Verse 8 describes the benefit of having heavenly wisdom, being that God guards the path of justice and preserves the way of his saints. And later on in Proverbs 30 we read, "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him." And I think of how much pain and heartache we could avoid if we would only accept the heavenly wisdom of God. There are so many life lessons that we learn through our own mistakes, the way we mess up. But think of all the negative things that we experience by learning through our mistakes, that we could not have been shielded from had we not listened to God in the first place. And as a loving father, I strongly believe that God wants to shield us from avoidable pitfalls in life. He knows what will happen when we make poor choices, and he wants to protect us. And as a father of three daughters, I want to shield in particularly Laura, who is the youngest of six, from avoidable pitfalls in life, where the eldest two are much more sensitive and clever. Laura is much more a free spirit and believes that she has probably the biggest heart in a child that you can find, because she loves everybody and she enjoys everything. But obviously that also has risks, because Laura would just cycle around on her bike in the neighborhood, and she would just go in any house where people is welcoming her. So we're trying to shield her. We're trying to protect her. And so God has warned us. He has given us instructions how to live. Things to embrace and things to avoid. And God's wisdom has been made clear to us if we would only listen. Proverbs 1 verse 20 reads, wisdom calls out aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. Wisdom protects us from foolishness. Wisdom guards us from going down the wrong course in life. So one way that we find hope in maybe difficult and challenging times in our lives is to acquire wisdom. Rules for a godly living. So when we look at Proverbs 2, we see the search for wisdom. We need to search for it. It calls us to action. We can't just sit back and relax. There needs to be that eagerness that the young man had with Socrates. As he needed air, that needs to be our drive to search for wisdom. And the source of the wisdom is clear, as Solomon writes. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, for the Lord gives wisdom. But also when we have this life, we live this godly life, then God just not gives us wisdom, but he gives us sound wisdom. And finally, we saw that he shields us as we shield our children. So true wisdom, heavenly wisdom, serves as a guide to earthly living. Because wisdom is being skilled in living, in godly living. And Derek Kidner said this about wisdom. You have to be godly to be wise. And this is not because godliness pays, but because the only wisdom by which you can handle everyday things in conformity with their nature is the wisdom by which they were divinely made and ordered. So I'll say that again. You have to be godly to be wise. But not because godliness pays, but because the only wisdom by which you can handle everyday things in conformity with their nature is the wisdom by which they were divinely made and ordered. So what Kidner is saying is that you have to know God to have God's wisdom. Your search for wisdom and hope in this life is really a search for God. He is the one that holds all wisdom, that gives all hope, that is responsible for all good in this world. So this evening, you have the opportunity to make a very wise decision. You can give your life over to God. You can take his son Jesus as Lord of your life. You can have your sins forgiven and your soul cleansed because of his sacrifice on the cross. I wish you all a blessed Easter time. Let's pray. O Lord, God Almighty, we cry out for discernment. We lift up our voice for understanding. Lord, we pray that when we go from here into our lives, Lord, we pray that you fill us with your wisdom and your understanding. We pray that even for the earthly decisions that we have to make, that we ask for your guidance, that we don't try to do things alone, but that you are our guidance. And Lord, we pray that you help us seeking it as silver, that we search for that wisdom as if we are searching for hidden treasures. And Lord, we pray that you help us to understand how we live our lives godly. That what we heard this morning that when we are Christians and believe in our Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, that we are prepared to be witnesses, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those you have placed around us. Lord, help us to be lighting lights and salting salts. And when we are living this week towards Good Friday and Easter, Lord, give us opportunities to share the gospel with others. Because when we look around in the world, we see so many people lost and drifting, looking for a shepherd. Lord, help us to be those witnesses that you want us to be. And give us your wisdom to live godly lives. Lord, hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.